I'd like us to turn book of the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18, and we read beginning at verse 9. We end our reading at verse 14. Luke and chapter 18, begin at verse 9. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray together once again, shall we? Father, we give you thanks once again for the joy of being able to look upon your word. As we do this, we pray that it will not be an exercise in futility, but that in loving kindness and in tender mercy, you will be pleased to come amongst us, be gracious to us, and to lift this word out of its sacred pages and to apply it savingly to our lives, that we might hear the voice of Almighty God speaking to us. And in hearing your voice, we might be made willing and humble, embracing the Lord Jesus offered in that glorious gospel, and causing us to close in with him who alone is the Savior, and to walk in obedience to your word. We ask for his sake and his glory. Now, one of the greatest blessings that any human being can ever enjoy is to know God's voice speaking to him. I think that you will agree with me that there is no greater blessing that you as an individual living in this world can ever encounter than to know for sure God's speaking to you. But I want to suggest to you this morning, there is another blessing. There is no greater blessing, I would argue, this morning, that you could ever know, other than to know when you are gathered for prayer, for instance, either in your own home or together with other Christians in church, as we are gathered here, that when you pray, God, in his kindness, will look with favor and approbation towards that prayer. In other words, there is no greater blessing that you can know as an individual than to know that when you pray, God will hear and God will answer prayer. And the text that I have chosen for us this particular morning involves the story of two men who went to pray in the temple. And their desire, obviously, was that they might speak to God, and God, in his grace and in his favor, would be pleased to answer their prayer and minister to their need. And that is the parable that we find before us, that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the people who were his hearers, and through them, he still speaks to us. And I would like to believe that those of us who are gathered here this morning, we do have the desire. Basically, by coming here, we are expressing that desire that we would like to speak to God, that we would like to bring whatever our petition as our needs are in our lives. And as we do so, it is our hope, it is our joy that God, in His kindness, will hear and answer our prayer. That when we leave this particular place, we will all be filled with great joy and delight that it was good to have gathered in the name of the Lord. But more importantly, on an individual basis, you can be able to testify, the Lord spoke to you. The Lord touched you. The Lord answered your prayer. That, I want to suggest to you, is the real reason why that parable has been given to us in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 and following. There were these two men who went to pray, and their greatest desire was that God would look with favor and approbation upon their prayers and answer them. And may that be our desire, that God in His kindness will look with His favor upon us and hear us and answer us. Now, just in brief, I just want to mention that if you were here with us last Sunday, Pastor Jim was dealing with Luke chapter 18 and the first 8 verses. And just for your benefit, let me say that the important point that left with us is that in that parable, in that teaching, God is the greatest actor. And God, who is merciful and gracious, will always answer when His people call upon His name. Now this morning, as we look at that particular portion that is set out for us in verse 9 and following, I would like us to consider the prayer of the Pharisee and the prayer of the publican or the tax collector. And before we do so then, I think it's very important for us to just give the kind of context and setting in which that parable is found. And interesting for us, in verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the reason why He gives this parable. And this is one of those parables that a reason is given why the Lord Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the people around Him in the way in which He did. Notice once again in verse 9 that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "And He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was aware of those people that were listening to Him, what their spiritual condition was. And in response to that condition that He perceived in their hearts, He gave this parable. And verse 9 clearly describes for us the kind of people that were listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, He says it was those who were trusting in themselves that they were righteous. That's the kind of group of people that He is referring to here. And He is bringing this parable to them. This group of people who were confident, were righteous in themselves, that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. But also, not only that they were righteous, but they despised everyone else who did not belong to their party, to their religious group. So they despised people who were not part and parcel of this group of people to which they belonged. They felt that they were a select group of people. They were, if you like, a chosen group of people. And they were a righteous people. The Lord Jesus Christ, because He is a good teacher, He is concerned about our welfare, He knows something about this thinking, this attitude, which is wrong, He therefore gives this parable to them in answer to that kind of thinking. And so in seeking to address that kind of group, He brings before us the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who all went to the temple. Now just, I want to emphasize the point that we must be reminded, it must be borne in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ knows our needs. And when He looks at us, whatever our station in life might be, He knows our needs. And many times, He sends His servants to bring a message to us according to those needs. And I think perhaps the story that we read earlier, the Old Testament story of David, is very instructive. Remember that David had fallen into grievous sin. And if you looked at him at that time, everything looked as if it was normal and everything was going on well. But because God looks at the hearts, and He knew everything that David had been doing in secret, and out of His favor and His grace upon David, He sent Nathan, the prophet. Nathan went to David, and at this little story, this wonderful parable, at the end of the day, he turns to David and says, "You are the man." And I want you to know this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is similarly concerned about us. And He often sends His people to bring His word to us just when we need it. And this is exactly what we learn here, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in response to this group of people who were righteous in themselves, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they looked down on everyone else. Those are the kind of people He's speaking to. And He brings to them this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Let's then proceed to look at this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And we are told that two men went to the temple to pray. So we can all assume that they all were desiring to speak to God. They desired to communicate with the Lord, and that the Lord in His kindness would be pleased to answer their prayers. Let's therefore begin by looking at the prayer of the Pharisee as it is recorded for us in verse 11. Notice then, it says that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. The first thing that we learn about the prayer of the Pharisee is his position. Look at what the Bible is very clear. It says, he stood. And if we look at other passages in God's Word, he must have stood in a prominent place. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in the Sermon on the Mount about the Pharisees, that they liked standing in the prominent place. And therefore, we can assume as we read that particular verse, when the Lord Jesus Christ says the Pharisee stood, that he must have stood somewhere in a very prominent place in the temple. In the place that no ordinary Jew could be able to go there. It was a place which perhaps over the years had been reserved for people like him. And he went and stood in that prominent place where all could see him. And then he began to utter his prayer. And he's basically in his prayer, though he's saying God, you discover that he's basically talking about himself. He's talking about his achievements and the things he has done. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I am in a separate group of people. I am not just like these ordinary individuals. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. And he perhaps could have gone on to tell the Lord what kind of things he does not do, what he is not. And if that is not enough, then he goes on to say, I am not even like this tax collector. Sure, he could have seen the tax collector somewhere in the temple. And he says, I am not like other men, not even like this tax collector. But that's not all. If you go in verse 12, he not only tells us the things he does not do, in verse 12 he goes on to tell us the things that he does. He tells us, I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. So, he's saying basically, look, I'm such a great chap. I'm such a good man. Look at the things I don't do. And if you're not satisfied with the things I don't do, look at the things I do.
I fast and I give money to the church. This has characterized my life for a long, long time.
That is the prayer of the Pharisee. If you really look at this particular prayer, you'll find that it is a prayer in which he is basically comparing himself with other sinful human beings. He is not at all conscious of the fact that he must be speaking to a holy and an almighty God. God who is exalted. There is no such feeling from his prayer. It is really talking about me. I and myself and what I have done, what I am, the kind of group of people to whom I belong. That was his prayer. And he did that in a prominent place in the temple. And what was the result of his prayer? We are told in verse 14, "Tell you," referring to the tax collector, "this man went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. In other words, the Pharisee came to the temple with a hope to meeting with God. He went home disappointed. He went just as he came, without that blessing from God. And obviously the Lord Jesus Christ uses that word, he went home not justified. He went home condemned. He went home with all his sins still charged to his account, for which he was going to answer before the judgment of God on that final and last judgment. Now that was the prayer of this Pharisee. And ultimately you notice that what is the reason why he went away disappointed in verse 14? Further we are told, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be." Here he is. He came a proud man, full of himself, what he can do, what he has done, what he has achieved. He went home, according to the Lord Jesus, disappointed because of his pride. What about the prayer of the tax collector? Let's see the few things about the prayer of the tax collector. It says in verse 13, "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, notice, in contrast to the Pharisee, the tax collector did not go into the place of prominence. We are told that he stood afar off. He was really, really feeling unworthy of being in the presence of God. And he was making every effort to stand afar off. Even the way he carried himself in the temple, you could tell that he was aware of the fact that he was a sinful man and he was coming before a holy God. So there was something that would speak to us about his body language. He stood afar off. He could not even bear to lift his eyes and look into heaven, but he beat his breast and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And what was the result of his prayer? Well, in verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." God heard his prayer. God forgave his sin. God granted to him that right standing which must be given to every sinner if they are to enter into heaven. And he went home a man with the blessing of God upon his head. And how did he receive this? Again, we are told at the end of the verse, in verse 14, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." The tax collector humbled himself before Almighty God, and God graciously forgave his sin, answered his prayer, and sent him home blessed. The Pharisee came parading who he was, what he's not been able to do, and what he's been able to do, and God disappointed him. He went home a sinful, as he came back. That is the story before us. But obviously the question that we must ask, how does this then apply to us? What can we learn from this parable? Well, first and foremost, the question that we need to ask when we look at this passage, what is it that really separates these two individuals, the Pharisee and the tax collector? Look at the one. The Pharisee belonged to this group of people the Lord Jesus Christ described as those who trust in themselves, those who were definitely religious, those who were always in the temple and, you know, well known and had the reputation for being the people of God. If there was anybody in Israel in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the days of his flesh, these were the people. On the other hand, when you look at the tax collector, the tax collector was, if you were referred to as a tax collector in those days, it was the worst insult anybody could give you. The tax collectors were regarded as the scum of the earth, the worst of the worst. Those people who had betrayed the fellow Jews, those people who were the tax collectors collecting money on behalf of Rome and collecting some more money for their own good. These are the two groups of people. These are the differences. But look at them again. What really differentiates these two men in the sight of God? Both are depraved. Both are fallen. In spite of the superficial differences that you and I can see, the one a religious man, the other not. And yet when they all stand in the sight of God, they are all sinful. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What then differentiates them in the sight of God? I'll tell you, it is this, that one is aware of the fact that he is a sinner. The other, in spite of his religious activities, that is the real difference between these two individuals. Those who know their need for a Savior and those who do not. This morning I would like to suggest to you that as we are gathered here in this particular room, perhaps that is the real difference between the people who are gathered here today. Those who know something of what the tax collector means. Deep work of conviction of sin in their own lives. Those who are church members, or committed to the church, and they do everything that you would want a church member to do, and yet are completely unaware. That I want to say to you, at the end of the day, is the difference in these two characters. And I would like to ask you this morning, where do you stand? Are you, like the Pharisee, committed to the church? And I would like to encourage you. There's every reason in the Bible why you must be committed. I'm not here to discourage you from commitment to the church. A man who is perhaps you even have a reputation amongst your neighbor as a religious man. Do you know something of what the tax collector knew? This work of grace, by the grace of God, his eyes were opened. And as he entered that temple that morning, or was it in the afternoon, began to seek God. He was not conscious of any other person. He was deeply aware of that stain of sin within. And he cried out to God, "My God, have mercy upon me." Can you identify with his experience? Can you say to yourself, "Yeah, by the grace of God, I know something of what. Perhaps I've not been able to hit myself on the chest, but I definitely know how God in grace has inverted me He has arrested me, awakened
me from my slumber of death,
and caused me to see, terrible sinner I am, in spite of all my religious activity. But secondly, this is a story that reminds me of the Old Testament story of Cain and Abel. And I'll tell you how it reminds me of that. You see, both these men desired something. And as we read the passage here, it's that they desired the approbation of God. They desired the answer of God. But how do they differ? The difference appears to be in the way in which they go about to attain that blessing they seek from God. For the Pharisee, he was busy parading himself, what he has not done, how he has avoided what you might call the scandalous sins of this world, and how he is busy, you know, telling God what good things he's been able to do in the synagogue or in the temple, that he tithes of everything that he has. He fasts twice a week. That's the way in which he felt he was going to obtain favor from God, by him doing something. And yet the tax collector, he recognized that there was nothing that I can do. In the words of that hymn writer, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked I come to you for dress. Helpless I look to thee for breath. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That is what this man came to see. He knew that there's no way you can bribe God. There's no way you can buy God by being committed, and therefore God is going to look at the things you've been doing good, and he somehow will overlook the bad things you've done in your life and say, okay, fine, because you were so really committed, therefore I ignore those bad things and you're going to come into heaven. Not like that. Isn't that what we learn from the story of Cain and Abel? We're told in Genesis, they both brought their sacrifices to God. We are told that God looked with favor upon the sacrifice of Abel, but he rejected the sacrifice of Cain. Why? Well, because there was that revelation even in that day, that revelation that there is nowhere in which a sinner can approach unto God except there is a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is a sacrifice of blood. And in the light of that sacrifice, that innocent sacrifice, will God accept anything at the hands of sinful men? Abel believed that message, and he came to God in obedience to that revelation. Cain, for whatever reason, felt that he could go to God in any way he felt, and he was rejected. That, I want to say to you, my dear friends, is the difference between these two men. It's not that they did not desire blessing. They both desired the blessing. But it is the way in which they went about to seek and receive a blessing. I might be here today and say, look, I am not like that. I'm not a Pharisee who's going to say to God, no, I do this, I do that. But isn't it true that sometimes, even in our own evangelical tradition, people think, if only I was a bit more faithful to God, perhaps faithful to pray every day and to read the Bible, more faithful, or perhaps if only I felt more convicted. And what are you doing?
You may not be able to put it in exactly in the words of the Pharisee, but that's exactly what you are seeking. You are seeking to come before God with something in your hand, something that you can refer to and say, "Ah, this is what I did, therefore God, look with favor on me."
And yet the truth of the gospel is that you must come just as you are. Just as you are. Without any plea. Without seeking to do anything. Just as you are. Looking to Him to come in your life and change you and transform you and make you the kind of person that He wants you to be. But then thirdly, we learn from this particular passage. Again, when you look at these two individuals, what is it that differentiates them? They all believed in God, didn't they? Because when they came to prayer, they all began by saying, "God." Even the Pharisee, who was basically talking about himself, he still said, "God." Yet, the real difference is not so much that they all believed in God, but what they believed about that God to whom they were coming. For some strange reason, the Pharisee believed that his God is the kind of God who you can twist, whose hand you can twist with the things you do, whose will you can bend with the things you do, the things of your own human effort and achievement. Tax collectors had the right view of God. He had that view. He knew he was the lofty one of Israel. One whose eyes are too pure than to behold iniquity, and before whom you can only come and ask for mercy. Leave yourself and the self-trust and throw yourself entirely upon His mercy in Jesus Christ. Amen. Finally, that is my last point. We learn from this passage. The only way to pray is by not only getting rid of. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ puts it like this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, I suggest to you this morning that that is not a literal closing up. Yes, you can go and pray in your closet. But the principle that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here, the important thing, if you are going to pray and pray successfully, you need to expel from your mind other people. For as long as you're thinking of yourself and others, you cannot pray and God accept your prayer. When you want to pray, like the publican, like the tax collector, there must only be God and yourself in the room. Yes, there may be other people gathered with you, but as far as you are concerned, there is only God and yourself. And that is the lesson that we learn from the tax collector. It is that he was not aware when he starts praying. Yes, of course he's aware in a particular sense, but that was not as important that there is a Pharisee, another man praying there. All he can see is Almighty God and himself. Isn't this the reason why sometimes some of our people will not pray when we meet for public prayer on our prayer meeting day? It's because they are so conscious of what the next person is going to think. And therefore, they feel hampered. If I say this, will Pastor Jim, what will he think? What does it matter what anybody thinks? It's God to whom you must direct your prayer. And it is God who is going to answer. Therefore, I say to you, before you pray, like the publican, there must be somehow in your heart that work of grace, that by grace you manage to eliminate all other people until you enter into that chamber where there is only God and yourself. Then you pray, and God might answer the prayer in our parable. Answer the prayer of the taskmaster. We will be pleased to hear you and to answer your prayer. It is a blessing to have children growing in the church. Because of sin, that blessing can also be a curse. Some of our children who grew up in the church might begin to have that wrong idea about themselves and say, yeah, we are not like those young people who don't go to church. Young people who are drug addicts. Young people whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. We always go to church. We read the Bible. We have our devotions. Where you can begin to entertain the attitude of a Pharisee in your own heart. It is a blessing to have Christian parents. But I want to say to you, at the end of the day, that is not what is going to get you right with God. What is going to get you right with God is that you recognize, by God's grace, you see yourself as one who is lost, one who is sinful, and in need of pardon from God. You come to Him on no other basis other than on the fact that He is rich in mercy and that He is willing to draw you to Himself and forgive you. So don't let that which is a blessing become a hindrance in your own way of coming to salvation through faith in Christ. Thank God for those parents and what they mean to you and what they teach you. That should never be your ground of acceptance before God. Because the Bible has been read to you, because many prayers have been prayed over you, and you pray all the time, and you have your devotions, and you come to church for the young people's meeting. That is not what is going to save you. If you're going to be saved at all, it is that you have come just as you are to Christ. And Christ has transformed your life, changed you, made you new. You're a brand new person in Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Our Father who is in heaven, we thank you for your word that has come to us this morning, and particularly for that picture you have painted before us. The picture of a Pharisee praying. And the picture of a tax collector praying in the temple. And in the light of that picture, we pray, dear Father, that the grace of God will be upon us. And like that publican, like that tax collector, we might take our place and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We especially pray for those who do not know you. May this be that glad day and moment in which they might be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. Bless this word to our hearts. Glorify the name of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.